Alistair has asked me this morning to continue just with a series he's been doing in Mark's Gospel. So can I invite you to turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. You find it on page 1007 of the Pew Bibles. Mark chapter 1 and verse... Mark chapter 5 and verse 1, page 1007. If you can see a Pew Bible, please do turn to the passage, to the Word of God. And also, if you could, keep the passage open as we think about what God is saying to us here today from His Word. We know that Jesus has just crossed over through the storm, through this furious storm, and has calmed the storm. And now He lands on the other side of the lake. And so we read from Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. Before we do, let's just pray again. Father, as we come to your word, your life-changing, life-giving word, we pray you'd come to us by your Holy Spirit. Come to us as light to illuminate your word and to mold us by its truth. Come to us as holiness to convict us of sin and to humble us to repentance. Come to us as power to expel every competing desire and affection, to reign supreme in our hearts. Come to us as fire, that our hearts would burn for Jesus as our all in all. Come to us, Father, as love by your Spirit, that we would feel compassion for those who are broken and enslaved and lost without the Savior. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Mark chapter 1 and verse 5. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside, and the demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and told about the pigs as well. And then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. This is the word of the Lord. I wonder, have you seen the film Saving Private Ryan? It won Oscars. Steven Spielberg. It is a gripping war story, and it opens with this harrowing scene, which is, I think, has been voted the most realistic war scene ever in a film. And it's this harrowing scene of Tom Hanks and his soldiers, and they're at sea, and they're coming in boats to to land during the D-Day landings in Normandy, the D-Day invasion. And so it has this beach landing, and it's a horrific scene of war. They come ashore into this hostile, enemy-occupied territory, and the opposition is just intense as they land on the shore. And their mission is a man called Private Ryan, a soldier who's in a family of four sons, and all four sons went to war, and three of them have been killed in action. And so the mission is to save this last son and to bring him back home and bring him back into his mother's arms, her last son. See, what makes it so gripping is that it is a war story, but it is a relational love story motivating it all in the middle of it. And you know, so is your story, so is my story, so is all of life. The love and war story of life is what ultimate reality, what life is all about. And we see both the love and the war stories of life in this story in Mark 5. The whole encounter with this one man is presented as a battle scene. Christ is coming across the water, across the sea, invading enemy-occupied territory. This is a place of the Gentiles, the Gerasenes, the Decapolis, where Jesus, the gospel, has never been before. And so he's coming into new enemy-occupied territory on a mission. And what's his mission? His mission is to save one man from the power of evil. And so it's presented as this battle scene. First of all, there's the sea crossing. And we see that described in verse 1. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes, this new mission, this new territory. But of course, before they get there, in the crossing, there's the wind and the waves, this furious, end of chapter 4, there's this furious chaos, the forces of chaos rising up to try and halt Jesus' progress as he comes across on his mission into this new enemy-occupied territory. But of course, the power of evil, the chaos of evil, cannot stop Christ. And then he gets there, and in verse 2, you see the beach landing. He gets out of the boat. There's the beach landing. And a man runs to him. But verse 10, we're told this man is called Legion. Legion is a military term for thousands of soldiers. And so straight away we see that Satan is organized in his resistance to Jesus. There's really strong resistance here. He has really reinforced this new area unreached with the gospel. Strong resistance. This is a stronghold. And it looks as if, with the beach landing, it looks as though there's going to be a mighty battle. But this evil army is no match for Jesus' power. Why? Well, Legion recognizes what many in Mark's gospel and many in life don't recognize. Look at verse 7. He recognizes that Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. Why did the eternal Son of God come to save this one tormented, enslaved, tortured man? Why did he make this journey across the lake through the storm for this one man? Why? Well, Jesus at the very end of the passage tells the man. He wants the man. He wants us to know. Look at verse 19. Go home to your family. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Jesus saves because his heart is full of mercy, compassion, grace, kindness. All of salvation for this one man or for anyone, pours out of Jesus' heart of mercy. And so this war story that we're encountering here is a love story. And it's to show us that Jesus, the eternal Son of God, is the mighty warrior and the merciful lover that we all need every day of our lives, whatever we are facing in this broken world. You see, love and war is the ultimate reality in life. To see that, I think it's good to turn back to Mark chapter 1. Just turn back a couple of pages to Mark chapter 1, just to see the introduction of Mark, because everything flows from this. And if you look back to the start of Jesus' ministry, and you look back to Mark chapter 1 and verse 10 on page 1002, you see Jesus being anointed by the Holy Spirit to begin his mission, to begin his public ministry. He's anointed by the Holy Spirit, but why? Well, we see straight away that it's for love and for war. He's anointed with the Spirit for love and for war. If you look at verse 11, we see the Spirit coming down upon Jesus as the Father declares his love, his delight to him. We see the Trinity. We see heaven opened. We see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we see the Spirit coming down to give the Son that sense of the Father's love and joy and delight upon his heart. And so the Spirit anoints Jesus firstly for love. And what is the love story, the ultimate love story of life? Well, this is it. It is of God himself. God is a happy family of love. A father loving his son in the joy and the delight of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus came, his mission, he came to bring us back home into his family of love. So Jesus is anointed by the Spirit for love. But can you see straight away, verse 12, straight away, he's anointed by the Spirit for love, to enjoy the Father's love, to know the Father's love. But straight away, at once the Spirit sent him out to war. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, Jesus now goes out to fight his evil enemy and ours, Satan. And you see, it's just a picture of what happened in Eden. He goes out in the power of the Holy Spirit to reverse what Adam did by sinning in Eden. And the rest of his mission is love and war. And you know, every day, this is the reality of our lives. We long to be loved with a perfect love. Every day we are looking everywhere to know a perfect love. Every day we need a power to change our lives at the very core, not just superficially, but at the very core of who we are. We need a power. We need love. We need power. We're in this story, love and war. And how is this going to happen? How are we going to know a perfect love that satisfies? How are we going to know this mighty power that transforms us in the core of our beings? How? By being joined to the Spirit-anointed Son of God. And this same Jesus is here today. And he's here for love and for war. And he's here to change you and me at the very core of our beings with his love and power. And so let's go back again to Legion, to this one man, and look at him in Mark 5 again in this story of love and war and what it means for us. First thing, we see the destructive bondage of evil. The destructive bondage of evil. Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 2 to 5. You see this picture of this man, you know, and it is really, really tempting for us to think, as we see this awful picture of Legion, to think that Legion is somehow different than us, that he's a different sort of species of humanity. But Mark is presenting Legion as an extreme example of the human condition that is common to us all. Our struggles in this broken world are simply reflected and magnified in Legion. Look at him. He's a slave. He's in bondage. He's dominated by evil and by these unclean powers. He wasn't in control of himself. He didn't control himself. He couldn't be controlled or helped by other people. He lived in tombs, slave to death, spiritually unclean, impure. And so he's full of self-loathing, self-harming, shame. He's helpless. He's hopeless. He's lost. And this is an extreme picture of life without Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is life and light and love. And when we turn away from Jesus Christ, we turn into death and darkness and disintegration. Our lives just fall apart. And so by nature, we are not free. We are slaves to evil. We are unclean in our sin. We are under the power of death. And so we feel ashamed. We feel afraid. We feel unloved. And we cry. And we harm ourselves in all kinds of ways. The passage shows us that evil is supernatural, but it's very personal. It's very personal. And we are all affected. The Bible teaches that evil is complex. Very hard to point at one group or one person. We shouldn't actually and say that's evil, because it is so complex in what the way evil works. The Bible tells us that evil is inside us, our sinful nature, or what the Bible calls the flesh. This selfishness that always turns me in on myself, that's evil inside us. The Bible also tells us that evil is outside us, in the world around us. Regimes, cultures, institutions, philosophies. Evil is inside us, evil is outside us and around us, but evil is also above us, the Bible tells us. Satan, demons, powers and authorities in the heavenly realms, right now. Evil is powerful, complex, personal. The world isn't getting any better, is it? Just this week, the state of New York voted to terminate babies as they were being delivered. That was legal. The world isn't getting any better. Evil is deceptive. In 1 Timothy, Paul tells us if we're proud or selfish, we fall into the devil's trap. He tells us that gossip gives Satan a foothold, an opportunity. In Ephesians, we're told that if we're bitter or hold grudges, we open up our hearts to the devil. 1 Corinthians tells us that all idolatry, worshiping anything but God first, is demonic. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul puts it very, very simply when he says that Satan's strategy in our lives is always to pull our hearts away from a pure and sincere devotion to Jesus. That's a strategy always, to pull our hearts away from a pure and sincere devotion to Jesus. And why is that what he wants to do? Because for all eternity, for all eternity, and we've seen it here in Mark 1, we've seen ultimate reality, the way things always were, before creation, before anything, for all eternity, God the Father has loved his Son as his all-satisfying delight and joy and treasure. That's ultimate reality. That's what is good. God the Father loving his Son in the joy of the Spirit. And that means that ultimate evil is not doing what God the Father has done for all eternity. Ultimate evil is loving, treasuring, desiring anything more than Jesus Christ, the Spirit-anointed Son of God. And we see that in the passage. And it's not legion. We see it in the people of the area. Can you see verse 14 to 17? It is so sad. It is so sad. Jesus has set legion free from satanic oppression that was just destroying his life, but look at the people. They hear about this. They hear what happens to the pigs, and look at them in verse 17. They go and they plead with Jesus to go away, to leave them alone. Why? Why do they want Jesus to go? Because evil values pigs and money and comfort and lifestyle more than Jesus and his salvation. Jesus has unsettled them by coming over to their territory and by transforming this one man. Jesus has unsettled them, and they do not want Jesus to change them or the way things are in their lives. I'm sure you've stayed in a hotel room where, you know, the little signs in the hotel rooms, do not disturb. And when you hang that out on your door on the outside, what you're doing is telling the staff when they come along that you don't want them to come in and to clean up your room. Maybe we've been doing that with Jesus. Have we settled for Satan's lies? A lifestyle of self-interest? A sinful habit or attitude that we don't want disrupted by Jesus? That's slavery. That's bondage. So are we willing to let Jesus unsettle us? Are we unwilling to let Jesus change us, the very core of our beings? He's here. As his gospel goes forth this morning, Jesus is here, same Jesus. And he's here to free us, to forgive us, and to fill us with himself if we want him. So thirdly and finally, the loving deliverance of Jesus. Third point. Oh, gone. If you put the third point up, the loving deliverance of Jesus. Thanks. Thank you. Next one. The moment Legion sees Jesus, the moment he sees Jesus, can you see in verse 2 and verse 6? He runs from the tombs to meet Jesus. We're told that. He runs out of the slavery of death and darkness and into the source of life and light and love. And he falls down in submission, in awe, in worship, because he sees Jesus for who he really is. Verse 7. Jesus, Son of the Most High God, swear to God that you won't torture me. His whole life has been torture and torment by the bondage of evil, and he doesn't want any more. But Jesus did not come to torture us. Jesus did not come to torment us. Jesus came into the world to destroy the work of the evil one who does torture and torment us. Why? Because Jesus, the eternal Son of God, who has been eternally happy in the joy of his Father's love for him, his heart is so full of love that he looks upon desperate, broken, dirty, messed up, helpless sinners, and he loves them. And so, verse 8, he commands, come out of this man, you evil, unclean, impure spirit. And evil just obeys him. He is the Son of the Most High. Evil just obeys Jesus. And in verse 13, and this is often, we often wonder, why did Jesus send the demons into the pigs? Why did Jesus send the demons into the pigs? Well, again, we need to understand that everything that Jesus does, we're told in verse 19, everything Jesus does is for Legion, and he's having mercy upon him. The whole incident, everything Jesus does is mercy for Legion. And so, he sends
the evil spirits into the pigs out of love for Legion. Why? So that Legion, with his eyes, could see and know that evil was gone from him and was destroyed. So that Legion could, for the rest of his life, be sure that the salvation that Jesus gave him could never be lost. And we can know that too. Not by looking at pigs being destroyed, going into the depths, the abyss, but by looking at the cross and the empty tomb. Jesus' death and resurrection delivered his people from the power of evil forever. Why? Because on the cross, Jesus exchanged places with Legion and with us. On the cross, Jesus is the one who is bound, naked, crying out, cut and bleeding, driven into a tomb, to deal with our evil, our sin, our death, our judgment before a holy God. Jesus absorbed it all into himself on the cross. On the cross, Jesus became unclean with all of our uncleanness to give us his cleanness before God the Father, so that if our lives are united to Christ, God the Father, the Holy One, the Most High, can look at us all the time and say, "You are my son, my daughter. In you I am delighted. You're the pleasure of my heart." Jesus died and rose so that one day, he could come again and destroy all evil and cast it into the abyss of hell without destroying us. In the summer, I heard Andrew Peterson up here singing these words, and I have listened to these words over and over again since that night when I heard them for the first time. "Every stone that makes you stumble and cuts you when you fall, every serpent here that strikes your heel to curse you when you crawl, the King of Love one day will crush them all. And every sad seduction and every clever lie, every word that woos and wounds the pilgrim children of the sky, the King of Love will break them by and by. I know the night is cruel, but the day is coming soon, and you will rise up in the end." And in Legion, Jesus gives us a preview of that day. Look at verse 15. "Legion, this man, tortured, tormented, enslaved, he's sitting beside Jesus, dressed and in his right mind. Normality restored." That's what Jesus does. Order out of chaos. A new creation in Christ. The old has gone. The new has come forever. Jesus is now his life. And so look at how Jesus has transformed him. Verse 18, he has this new desire to be with Jesus. He begs Jesus, "I want to be with you." The people wanted rid of Jesus, and Legion now wants to go with Jesus. Verse 19, Jesus says, "No, I've got something else. I've got a mission for you. Go back to your own people and tell them about my mercy and what the Lord has done for you. He's got a new mission. He's got a new desire to be with Jesus. He's got a new mission for Jesus to tell others of his mercy. And verse 20, he's got a new obedience. He goes and does what Jesus says. See, this is the love and power of Christ living in us. The love and power of Christ in us frees us to want to pray and be with Jesus, to want to witness and tell others about Jesus, and want to obey and live all of our lives for the glory of our new master who has set us free. Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president of America, and he went to a slave market, and he saw a young black woman being auctioned, and he bid on her, and he won. And her eyes were angry at yet another cruel white master who would buy her, use her, and discard her. But Lincoln looked into her face and he said this, "You are free." And she's amazed. And she asks him, "Does this mean that I can go wherever I want and you won't punish me?" And he said, "Yes, that's freedom." And with tears in her eyes, she said, "Then, Master, I think I'll go with you." The Spirit-anointed Son of God the Father is here today. Whatever your life is like, He alone is freedom. So one question only. Do you want to go with Jesus? Or do you want Jesus to go? Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for opening our eyes to the terrible, destructive, corrupting, tormenting, controlling power of evil. And Father, as we look at this broken world, we see into our own hearts and we confess that like this man, we are helpless and powerless to defeat the power of Satan and sin. So we thank you for your Son. We thank you that the love and grace of your Son brought him willingly into this world to die upon the cross, to take all of our evil upon himself, and to free us from the power of evil and death and Satan. And thank you so much for your Son's final words upon the cross as he died for our evil. It is finished. Lord, like this man, we throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus. We throw ourselves in faith upon Jesus. Jesus, we need you to save us. We need you to deliver us. We need you to transform our lives. And we just lay our lives open before you now. Do whatever you want in us for your glory. Deliver us from evil, Lord Jesus. We want to follow you as master in a new obedience. We want to be drawn into a new desire for you in prayer. We want to be moved by you to go and to tell others of your mercy, for we pray in your strong name. Amen.